Do you want a new and unique way to think about sugar addiction? Welcome to episode 1 of the Sugar Addict Coach podcast, where I explain my unusual and very useful definition of sugar addiction that changes everything. Hello, my sweet friends. I'm Helena, the Sugar Addict Coach, and I'm very excited to launch the very first episode of the Sugar Addict Coach podcast. I hope this will be interesting, helpful, and maybe even a little bit fun, even though it isn't usually how people approach sugar addiction. So the first thing I want to tackle is the foundational question of sugar addiction, and that is, what exactly is it? The way I answer this question is very different than most, but I find it is quite useful to break it down in this way, and it also highlights an important emotional piece that's often ignored. And most importantly, it's undeniably true, this definition. And that is that sugar addiction is the habit of over-desire. I know it sounds too simple with this thing you've been struggling with for maybe years, but let me explain how this definition will help us unravel this whole collection of behaviors and thoughts and feelings and identities and cultural norms, societal pressures, past memories, experiences, all that contributes to how much sugar we eat. And looking at all that feels so overwhelming. But all those things are reasons why we crave sugar so strongly. So to take a look at all that and then solve it all that collection of things going on in our lives and in our brains and how we feel about it, it can feel impossible. There are a lot of factors here. But what we can do is focus on the behavior that is a repeated habit, and it's due to over-desire. And that desire is the emotion that we can examine, process, and learn to diffuse. Now, a habit is defined as just a behavior you do repeatedly. And our understanding of habits suggests that there's a trigger or a cue for that habit. And that's helpful for us to be aware of. We can become aware of our habit cues to change our reaction to them. But complex behaviors like eating too much sugar don't just happen simply out of like a physical habit. In fact, it's really important for you to know that the reason we do or don't do anything in our lives is because of an emotion. Because we are either trying to acquire a desirable emotion, a positive emotion, or we're trying to avoid a less desirable negative emotion. So understanding the emotional motivation is key. So with this definition of the habit of over-desire, we can focus on 1, our habits and their cues, and 2, the things that contribute to our over-desire. And this takes back our power from the idea that we're addicted to sugar and sugar is somehow in control of us. If that's true, then this podcast is not going to help you. Turn it off now. But wait, we're humans with a human brain and we can use that brain to make choices and to become aware of our choices and to question why we made those choices. Sugar addiction is not the same kind of physical addiction that brain-altering drugs are or alcohol dependency is. Yet it does feel urgent and unstoppable. But it doesn't actually fundamentally change your brain, and it doesn't create a situation where the body is dependent on it. So yes, certainly there's some discomfort and unpleasant withdrawal symptoms if you cut out all sugar suddenly. But our body has not become incapable of functioning without sugar. If your body has become incapable of functioning without sugar and going off sugar needs to be overseen by a doctor, please go see a doctor. But I'm going to assume that you can probably go without sugar for a while, even if it gives you a headache or makes you moody or even makes you a little nauseous. There are a range of symptoms that can happen when you cut sugar out that you've been overindulging in for quite a while. That is real, but it doesn't mean you have to stop taking steps to change the habit of eating too much sugar. And that's what I'd like to help you with. Now, if you think of eating too much sugar as a habit, it gives us so much power. A habit is an action we automatically take after our trigger or a cue. Knowing that, we can look for and identify that trigger, and we can trace the habit pathway we usually take. When we build awareness of those triggers, we can create some strategies to disarm the trigger or block the pathway that we usually take. Now, this is not the entire process to changing our habits, but it is an important step that can make us feel very powerful. And you need to believe that it's possible for you to change, or you can't make progress towards reaching your goal. Also, when we see eating sugar as a habit, we can uncover how that habit developed and, this is important, how it's been useful in our past. How did it help us? How did we use sugar to support ourselves? How did we use sugar to change our feelings, to comfort ourselves, to distract ourselves, to fit in? We need to be able to see these things that sugar has provided for us in the past so that we can brainstorm some ways to provide that, whatever it was, to ourselves in another healthier way. We can't just pull the sugar ladder out from under us without creating a soft place to land, right? Or we simply won't be able to sustain the change. It will feel awful. And when we feel awful, what do? We go have a treat, of course. Also, when we uncover and acknowledge how eating this way has been useful to us, we can quiet some of that self-blame that's been so destructive. It makes it even harder to change. We ate that sugar for a reason. It helped us in the past. It was important to us and useful to us. And we are smart humans, and we were solving a problem with sugar. Now, that sugar has become a problem, but we can use our smart human brains to see if we can provide that solution with something else besides sugar. And we can cut ourselves a break that we used sugar in the past. In fact, if it's possible, we should try to admire ourselves a little bit for finding something easy and available to help us in those difficult situations in the past. It really is vital to step out of the shame of eating too much sugar, because it's very hard to make changes that stick from a place of shame. I've never seen it work. Shame makes us hide, and we are not going to be able to investigate and discover what's really going on with ourselves if we're busy hiding in shame. And the last reason I love calling it a habit is because habits can be broken and new habits can be formed. We do this all the time. Think about just a few years ago, you might have had many different habits relating to maybe the different circumstances that you had at the time, right? For sure, if you think about 10 years ago, you know that you had a lot of different habits. Maybe some that you've broken, and you can see how many new habits you've formed since then. This is all natural and a repeatable process, the making and breaking of habits. And there's a lot of scientific research about it, and I've used that research in these strategies and tools I'll teach you in this podcast. We don't have to start from scratch here. In fact, you may have a habit-making or a habit-breaking strategy that you've used in the past, and it's really worked for you. And I wonder if using this new definition can help you repurpose those strategies that you've already mastered. So go ahead and consider that. Think about that. But I acknowledge that this is not just a simple habit, like the order you put your shoes on or something like that. It's not just A equals B. I see an Oreo and I pick it up and eat it. A cue triggers a response. No, there is an emotional component, and that emotional piece is that over desire. So I like to use this tabletop metaphor. Imagine that over desire is the tabletop that your sugar habit is resting on, and there are four table legs that hold that over desire up, like that contribute to that feeling of over desire, right? The four legs are 1, all those circumstances in your life, the people, the places, and things around you. 2, those stories you believe about sugar, maybe how great it is or what normal people do or don't do. 3, your emotions, the emotions you might want to escape or move towards. And 4, your identity and how you define yourself. And those four legs are holding up that table. I mean, that's quite a bit holding up that over desire, but we can use tools, the tools I'm going to teach you in this podcast, to start sawing away at those table legs. They will get shorter and weaker each time we apply the tools. And each time we shorten a leg, our over desire gets shakier. So even if our table doesn't come tumbling down at the first whack, we are chipping away at it, and we're building our competence that we're capable of weakening those table legs and that we're capable of change. We keep doing that, and it's just a matter of time and the work we put in to take down the whole table. I hope that each podcast you listen to will make your table more and more wobbly, starting with this one. If you started listening to this podcast thinking, I'm a sugar addict and there's nothing to be done, I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life, now you can consider the possibility that this is just a habit of over desire. You're already destabilizing that table. It's already got a little wobble to it. So if you can take this new perspective, and it creates hope a new awareness that will lead you to real change, you've already started the work. I do know that it's complicated. There are four legs to the table. There are a lot of stories. There are a lot of people, expectations, beliefs, past experiences, emotions, negative emotions. Even positive emotions cause us to desire sweets. But I hope that this tabletop analogy helps you see that you can take a look at each situation and take it one issue at a time. And my first goal here is to help you avoid the hopelessness that comes with the idea that you are addicted to sugar and you'll never be free. I mean, how could you stay motivated or committed to change if you thought it wasn't changeable, right? But I used to be addicted to sugar, or else I told myself that I was addicted to sugar, and it felt big and scary and impossible to change. But I did change it, and my clients have also changed the way they think about themselves and how much sugar they eat. So you may not believe that you can be free yet, but keep listening, and I'll lay out a doable plan that could, if you let it, change your mind from thinking first, "That's totally impossible, I'll always be addicted to sugar," to move to, "Maybe it is possible to be free of this overwhelming desire." To hopefully get to, "I really believe that it's possible for me to not care about eating sugar anymore." So that's the first episode. We've defined the problem as the habit of over-desire, and now we can dive into, what are we going to do about it? How do we change this habit? How do we shrink our over-desire? What contributes to that over-desire? And then how much power do you really have to change it? I'm keeping these episodes brief and hopefully simple with a focus on just one concept at a time, but I have a lot to share with you, so there'll be many more episodes to come. So you listened to the whole episode, and maybe you're left wondering, but how does this apply to me, Helena? Glad you asked. Sign up for a free coaching call and we can talk about it. I work with people one-on-one, and I want to give you a taste of that by actually helping you for 30 minutes. So go to my website, thesugaraddictcoach.com, and get on my schedule. Talk to you soon.